Okay. My name is Satish Sharma with Reliance Packaging. I wanted to share a little bit of background about our company and a couple of concepts to save money with plastic bags and preserve cash flow. And then finally, I want to give you an update on the current market that we've experienced with the recent hurricane. So, Reliance Packaging is a company that exclusively manufactures bags for the lawn and garden market, mulch bags, soil bags. That's the only product that we manufacture. We are part of the Sigma Group, and the Sigma Group is a company that sells over $2 billion worth of plastic bags annually. We're one of the largest manufacturers of plastic bags and stretch film in the country. You can see some of the locations. We have 45 manufacturing locations throughout the country, from the West Coast to the East Coast. And one of the things that we've done is invested in technology. We have some of the latest technology in extrusion. And by using this technology and the latest developments in raw material, we've come up with some materials that can reduce the actual thickness of material that you use on the bags. A lot of people use 2.5, 2.25 mil on their 2-cubic foot and 3-cubic foot mulch bags. And that's been the standard for a long time. But with the recent developments in the materials like metallocenes and three-layer extrusion, we've actually been able to reduce that to a 2.15 mil. So you're seeing a reduction of 5 to 15% in reduction in the cost of raw material. And that does save, you know, considerably on the cost of bags. I've given an example here of the three-layer material. We call it Tufflex material. On the outer layer, we have like a non-skid UV-enhanced material. The middle layer has a metallocene, a really strong layer for impact and tear resistance. And the inner layer has increased sealability, so it runs faster on the packing machines that you use and improves the seal strength that you sometimes see. So I've spoken to some of my customers, and they're concerned about seals breaking if you use too thin of a mill. But with the extra elasticity of the material and the extra seal strength, you can actually, you know, get the same strength. We've even taken bags that are 2.15. We've thrown it from the top of a mulch machine, you know, that was 20 foot up in the air, and it doesn't break at all. The other method for saving money and preserving cash flow is an inventory, a managed inventory program. We currently hold about 500,000 pounds of B-wind and 500,000 pounds of A-wind unprinted film in our inventory. That facilitates just-in-time deliveries. And we also offer the ability to hold finished product in our inventory. We have a warehouse the size of a football field, and we, for example, with one of our national customers, we hold about $500,000 worth of inventory, and that's there. It doesn't get billed until it's shipped, and it's there to be delivered within, 5 to 7 days of them releasing it. I've given an example here, a traditional order of maybe 1 million bags, 5 subjects, 200,000 each. That would be an approximate value of about $180,000. It would consume about 60 pallets in your warehouse. If we were to manage half of that inventory for you, it would reduce your requirements by $90,000. So you're preserving $90,000 of cash flow that you can use for other things, and would also reduce the space that you occupy in your warehouses by at least 30 pallets. So I think that's, you know, considerable savings. I wanted to go on to the current situation with the resin market. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the term force majeure. Every single one of our resin companies have filed force majeure after the Hurricane Harvey event. They're all concentrated in the Houston area. Many of them were flooded and damaged. They were shut down. They're trying to restart it, but there's been significant damage. Under force majeure, they have the right to break any contract. They can increase the price, and in fact, they've retrospectively increased the price. So they've increased the price for August 1st, and we had to absorb it one way or another. And they've even put a lot of people on allocation. That means if you were buying £1 million a month, you may be on £500,000 a month now. So it's a very critical situation for our industry and something that needs to be watched and monitored. The increases we've seen is the 3 cents in August, 4 cents in September, another 3 cents now announced for October 1st. That is a 10-cent increase in our raw material costs, which equates to about a 10% increase in the finished bag cost. So anybody that's ordered ahead of time, you know, has really made a good decision. Anybody that is sort of procrastinating and waiting to place orders, they may be seeing some significant increases. I've given some examples of some announcements. Everyone, Equistar, Chevron, Dow, INEOS, Formosa, they've all announced shutdowns of their facilities. The Chevron facility in Cedar Bayou is the largest worldwide producer of hexene, which is one of the major components in a mulch bag or soil bag. And their control room was flooded. They've said that it'll be shut down until December. But it looks, that's pretty optimistic. It looks like it will be, you know, shut down for a longer period than that. So we're looking at a difficult situation there. There's some examples of some letters that we've received, all announcing this force majeure and price increases and allocation. So, you know, how do we get around this? You know, I think a managed inventory program that I mentioned earlier is a good option, where you have your suppliers holding finished goods. So if there is a situation where these resin facilities are taken out and there's limited supply, at least you have this backup and you're working ahead of the game. I think it's always good to have a second supplier. Some people have long established relationships that they've, you know, that they enjoy for a long period of time, but it does put you in a situation if that supplier is impacted by the resin market and you have nowhere else to turn, you're leaving yourself in a kind of difficult situation. I think it's prudent to have a second supplier. And then, you know, somebody like Sigma buying £2 billion of material a year, we kind of get priority with some of these resin companies because we've been in business for a long time and we buy such volume. We do enjoy, you know, a certain relationship that provides us, you know, benefits of guaranteed material coming into us. So that's really it. That's what I had for today. Does anybody have any questions? No? Okay. Thanks so much. Oh, one question at the back there. Randy?
Have your suppliers given you any kind of announcement on when they think they'll be back full supply?
They haven't. They're being very vague. We've got some information that that main facility in Cedar Bayou, they said December, but with the damage that was done to the facility, they're saying in one way they're saying it'll be back December, but that's very optimistic. So certainly we're going to see the resin market impacted throughout the end of this year, and I think it will start to recover, you know, early next year. Thank you.
Oh. Does managed inventory protect you from force majeure pricing?
It does with us. Anything that was used from inventory made of material where we secured that inventory level. So, yes, all of that managed inventory would be a fixed price that would be released as the customer needed it. Thank you.
I guess the next guy would be Al.
Maybe.
Good afternoon. My name is Al. I'm with ComTech. It was good to be a sponsor again this year of the Mulch and Soil Conference. We plan on doing it for many years to come. It was nice to see some familiar faces and meet a lot of you yesterday, of our current customers and then hopefully potential customers. If you don't know about us, ComTech is a manufacturer of compost turners, screeners, star screens, trommel screens, and a dual shaft and single shaft shredder for C&D wood waste. We We're also getting a lot of activity from the hurricanes that have hit. Unfortunately, there's a lot of damage down south, Keys. We've got many, and in Houston, we've got many machines on the way down there to assist with the cleanup. But I'm here to talk today about the Multistar XL3. That's our star screen. It's a very productive star screen. It does about 375 yards per hour of finished product. We've got a patented clean star technology on our stars, which I've got a slide on that'll show you a little bit more what that does. It reduces the wear of the stars, and it also cleans out the machine if you're in wet conditions. It's a low operating cost. Our machines burn about 1.7 gallons per hour when you compare that to your high-speed grinders, which you definitely must have in a mulch application. You're upwards of 40 gallons per hour. So our philosophy is screen more, grind less, and we can get you about 30%. You'll screen about 30% of your acceptables that you'll have to not your acceptables, but the material that you'll have to regrind again, compared to double grind everything. It's a hybrid diesel or electric power, so you're either burning 1.7 or you're plugging it right in. It's easily adjustable product sizing. It's a push-button screen where you can increase or reduce the size of the stars depending on your product to get the perfect product. And it's kind of cool. They've got what we call a recipe menu on our touchscreen. If you're in wet conditions or dry conditions, if you're in a mulch application, a compost application, a soil application, your operator can go right back to the screen and touch a button, and it goes back to the exact same star speed, whether it's a single deck or a double deck. It's very easy as opposed to switching out a trommel, the drum on the trommel screen. Just press a button. We also offer wind sifters to get rid of ferrous materials, plastics on our star screen. So we say screen it versus grind it. You know, you could take 70% of your material that you're double grinding out of the equation, and you have your finished product. So when you go down to fuel on a typical grinder, we'll say 1,000 horsepower, you're about 120. This is based on 250 yards, about $120 per 250, and you'll see the math on that. It's about half the maintenance of a high-speed grinder. We're not knocking grinders. I come from that industry. We're just trying to get you a more fuel-efficient, economical way to produce more product and be able to make more profit. So you look down in the maintenance, it's about one quarter of the cost. So 300,000 yards a year, you are saving $308,000. So within a year and a half, you can pay for an XL3 just based on those numbers alone. I told you I'd get into our star screen technology if this slide is going to go. And it's not. Well, basically it's a carbide tip on our stars. With every rotation, it cleans out the stars. We can do anywhere from, depending on the size of the stars, from 3.5 inches minus down to a quarter inch, just based on the configuration of the decks and the size of the stars. Now it's stopped altogether. Okay. So with our star screens, you can virtually screen all year, have that material ready for when your season gets the busiest. And you could screen from primary grind, ready mulch, double grind, or triple grind. We're just trying to get out of the philosophy that you need to grind everything twice, because you really don't have to, and a lot of our customers have proved that to us. The wear on these stars is pretty good. On the cleaning fingers, we suggest every 2,000 hours you replace them. On the actual stars, anywhere between 4,000 and 6,000 hours, depending on the material and what you're putting through it. We've got a customer in the southeast that is a good success story, that they've got over 8,000 hours on their XL3 Star Deck and have not replaced a thing. It's not going to be this typical in every situation, but we were kind of proud of that. And this video is probably not going to play either. Thanks, John. But it's just an application where we're grinding in a double deck or a single deck machine, our XXL2, which is a great machine for boiler fuel. Also, he's getting the fines out. Ash content is about 4%, and it's a very successful application there. And with my slides not working, that is my end of the presentation. Anybody got any questions? Cool. Huh? What's that? It's in my bag. Top pocket.
Yeah, well, you can't download the presentation if it's linked to other things without putting it all in a folder.
Gotcha.
So we'll just go back to the original folder. And we'll play it off there. This should work.
One more screen.
That one. This one?
Yep.
Going
there. So this is what we were talking about with our screens. There's the carbide tip on the on our star screens, and like I said, we can do anywhere from a 3.5 inch to a 1/4 inch minus. We've got really highly elastic rubber stars that'll clean itself out. Another good thing about this machine is if you've got the operator of the of your star screen talking to the bag line guy. Your bag line guy can go, I need more weight in the bags, I need less weight in the bags. All the operator has to do is go and touch a button, and it'll speed up or slow down the speed of the stars to get your proper size, and that's all done with a push of a button. And you'll see that it's got the every rotation, it cleans the machine out, so you're not going to be in clumpy materials. And you can see as you put them on the hopper, the material goes through what we call the dosing drum, which fluffs up the material a little bit more. And then you've got the coarse fraction going up to the top screen, and those are the ones that you're going to want to regrind. Then you've got your middle fraction is your finished product, and then on the bottom is your unders, your fine fractions. And it's a very good machine, and we've had a lot of success with it, and we're pretty happy with it. We call it the mulch monster. And this is the video. This is our one deck star screen. It's used primarily, most applications we're doing boiler fuel with it. But he's got you'll see the fines coming off to the right. And then the stuff that he wants to regrind, he puts in directly into his grinder. And he's got a low ash content, about 4%, which is a good material, and the mills are happy with it. And that's it. Any questions? Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm going to bend your ear a bit more about low volume scanning. Twice in one day. Might be getting a bit much, but anyway, I'm Kerry West. I'm the owner of LoadScan, and we are based out of New Zealand, but we do sell our product globally. And we are new members to the Soil and Mulch Council, and you know, like spending a bit of time here the last few days, going to a few meetings, and that I was pretty impressed that you know, a group of people from an industry come together and you know, collectively decide how things are going to be for them and what the industry standards are, and you know, I'm pretty impressed with that, and I feel happy that we're part of that now too, and yeah, so I'm sort of pretty impressed with it. So today, I'm probably going to hit it a little bit different than what the previous Wallscale did this presentation on low volume scanning, is I want to sort of hit it from our experiences. Our history of where we come from is quite important for me, and where we want to go to, and what's happening with the technology. So we'll get into that. Okay, so our system was developed back in 1998 by my father. He was running a construction company in New Zealand that he was constantly getting shortchanged on the inbound material coming from quarries, buying material over a weighbridge, putting it into a road base or a trench, which was in volume. And you know, if it was raining the night before, the material was wet, you get less material because the moisture content's higher. We had trouble with sand pits supplying material where they'd be bucket counting loads onto the truck, and we would be always shortchanged there, and just generally moving spoil around the site, on and off site. And one of my jobs when I first started working for him was I had to get up and do random samples of trucks and get up there with your shovel and shovel the load off level and tape measure it up and do a volume. And you know, truck drivers and suppliers would say, you know, that's all very well, but you've stepped all over the material and you've compacted it, so the measurement must be wrong. So my father sort of thought, well, maybe we need a system that the truck just drives under and we can create the measurement and there's no contact and it's all automated. So he set about getting an engineer to see if this could work, and after a few tries, laser, you know, measurement lasers was the thing that was going to do the job for him. So they set about making the system, and within 8 months we were actually scanning volume in trucks, and this was sort of early 1999. And then part of that measuring trucks on our construction sites is that we had to be accurate, you know, because we needed trade approval. So the next 9 months was spent doing a lot of testing with weights and measures in New Zealand, and doing bucket counts, cubic, you know, box counting, and various methods of loads to see if the measurement was actually accurate. And by the end of 1999, we actually had trade approval for the system for the volumetric measurement. So our first customer came from that was actually a mulch guy that was dealing in bulk, buying bulk material in and selling bulk out. And also, I used to have a scanner. I used to tow around my construction sites and set up everywhere and measure trucks in and measure trucks out. And, you know, we could see some really good savings out of it. And then we also got to know that what we needed to change in the system or make it better to use it for the application that it was used in. Because we do sell our system into not just mulch and bark, but we do civil construction, mining, and a range of industries. So the first scanner going out is 17 years ago. That system still operates today, and it still measures as accurately as it did when it first went out. We've got a test method that we use for testing it, and still the same. Low-cost sort of system to run, and all you got to do is chuck power at it. By about 2007, we'd only sold like 26 units. My father had sold 26 units in New Zealand to various customers, and it was just really a hobby business for him. And just on the side of the construction business. He just liked doing that on the side. And then in 2009, we entered the USA market with PR Russell. They purchased the Peter Russell purchased the first two units, and we came up and set those up and got them working. And then we had New Earth down in Texas. They brought a couple units as well. And you know, both these companies were just really wanting to try and shore up that side of the business where the moisture, high moisture content, varying moisture content in the season from summer to winter, and just, you know, saving those arguments with customers when you're supplying and trying to make sure you actually get your the right amount in on your inventory. We also sold sold three units up into Ontario, Canada, to a company called Growbark. And that, and you can see there's a quote there from Bill McCaig, the owner, of what he gets out of the system. And you know, I think I've sort of glossed over a fact too that in 2012 I actually took over the low volume scanning business when my father passed away. And we were kind of left with this business that was just a hobby for him. And so I actually took that over and rebranded it to LoadScan, because the original company name was actually Tallyclerk, because he thought the system was a Tallyclerk. It was tallying loads. So we changed it to LoadScan, and we got a registered trademark in New Zealand, Australia, and the US. And so my thing was is that I wanted to take it out of just a hobby product and get it out into the world where it should be, I thought, and I thought that, you know, everyone should have one. Just the next one. So I'll give you a quick rundown. I know Matt's done a little bit on this already, but our systems, that one there on the page there, the yellow one. And we basically use laser rangefinders up in the scan head. We have a dedicated PC that's running our proprietary software, that actually manages the system. It doesn't run any other software except our software, so that the measurement's extremely fast. Trucks drive through the scanner at sort of 3 to 5 miles per hour, and probably takes 5 seconds for a truck to drive through, and it's about 3 seconds for the measurement to come through. And at that point, you can actually, within the system, you can collect additional data about that load. You can collect customer, the product, obviously, the destination where it's going, order number, and you end up with a data string for that load. We also run an LED message board off to the side. Some of our customers call that a scoreboard, which is quite apt, I thought. And that basically tells the truck driver what to do. So he tells them if the system's ready to scan, and to proceed slow and steady, and to continue scanning until he's finished, and then it'll display the measurement records. In 2010, we also got trade approval in Australia with the weights and measures over there. Which was a pretty big deal for us, because there is actually no rule for low volume scanners to be trade certified. So what New Zealand and Australia have done have taken parts of different rules and made one for us, or for our system, and which is great, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it transfers to other countries, and especially not the United States. Now, one of the reasons we sort of came here was a new customer of ours kind of said to me, you know, why don't you come and go to the Mulch and Soil Council and speak about this technology, because, you know, it'd be great if the industry got behind it and we could actually come up with an industry standard that people accept this measurement. And so that's partly the reason we came. And, you know, this sounds like a pretty good thing, because we could get trade certified in America with a bit of help, you know. In 2013, we actually got our system on the weights and measures here in the USA as a developing item. But to be honest with you, I didn't have the pockets to fight the bureaucracy, and so I kind of, because I'm in my own business, I don't have a big backer, I sort of decided that it wasn't worth pursuing because I would have had to get a consultant, would have taken probably 3 years of attending all the meetings and trying to get the legislation actually written for this system. So we went about it a different way. We thought, well, what we'll do is we'll go out and just get product out there in the industry and see if we can get the industry behind us. So this customer saying to us that, hey, why don't you come and do this? It seems like a, you know, a good conversation to have with people like yourselves that are, you know, that are motivated to for change and to do things right. And because there is a, you know, there is a, there are methods that if an industry comes up and says, yes, we agree, that, you know, weights and measures will take note. It doesn't mean it's blanket legal for trade, but it obviously helps to get a voice behind it. And I think that effectively one day we could get trade certified here. And a lot of our customers, like PR Russell, you know, they've all asked the question, and you know, accuracy was always one thing that we started off with at the start. It was always had to be accurate, and we've proven that, and that accuracy is proven with the weights and measures departments like New Zealand and Australia to plus or minus 1%. And the way we prove that is by measuring known loads of known shapes that you can measure with a tape measure. So we're not doing bucket counts with materials, we actually use moulds. And so the measurement's proven. Now the compaction thing, that's another discussion, I guess. It's variable, and our system can cope with compaction in the fact that we can put a factor against it. So when you measure a load, if you say it's got 2% compaction because that's what you think it is, it can deal with that as a measurement. But personally, I don't kind of sort of like that thing because compaction can change depending on the loader operator, depending on who's loading the type of product. And so our system, its accuracy is based on what it sees in the back of the truck. You know, and I think that for your guys' industry in the mulching and soil, I think accuracy is a big thing, and accounting for your volumes of inbound material is a key. And obviously supplying your customers. A number of our customers that have got scanners in the mulch industry are using this tool to actually guarantee their customers what they're supplying them. If they said it's going to be 80 yards, they're going to put 80 yards on that truck. And when they get loads brought in, if they're buying 80 cubic yards and maybe it has travelled a couple hundred miles, it's not going to be 80 cubic yards on the truck. But if it's 72 and then they tip that load off and they reload it on and they reload it just as a check and they get 80, well, their settlement might be 8 cubic yards. But if they start getting loads down at 62, 63, 64, well, then you got to say that it wasn't really loaded correctly at the other end. So it's a check and a balance. It gives you information that you know, you can make sure that you are actually getting what you're paid for. And I accept that there are, you know, it's a variable. The industry's variable with the type of products and the range of products. You know, one of my customers, I talk about my customers a bit because I have a few of them, and they like telling me about how they use their system. And you know, one of my guys said, like, if you're not measuring your material out and in, and you're relying on your loader driver to put the right material in, Your loader driver is actually effectively in control of your profit and loss and your operational efficiency. And I never really thought about it much, but, you know, it's kind of true. You're sort of leaving it up to a loader driver that, you know, he might not turn up one day and you get another loader operator, or you get another type of loader, or the bigger bucket or a smaller bucket. It can change things. So by having a system like this, you can start getting to some control and getting some consistency with what's going on. And, you know, in some of the testing that we did in the early days, especially I know Peter Russell from PR Russell in New Hampshire, he did a lot of testing in the initial months of installing his scanners, and he noticed that there's definitely a variance between loader operators to what you get on the truck. There's a variance between high tip buckets and normal buckets, bigger loaders, smaller loaders, different trailers. And, you know, it's one of those things that you can take that variable out by using a scanner. And just to finish off, sort of just want to talk about something that people are doing with the scanner, that, you know, things that are changing. And something that we're definitely seeing in the industry is, you know, the data string is of information is key, because if you don't have the data, you don't know what you're doing. And the API, the application program interface, which we have, which is a cloud-based system or can be an onboard system, where you can pull that data into your ERP system or your ticket system or your whatever management system you're running, and you can actually stop that. We can take a step out of the process where someone might now be inputting data manually. You can do that as a seamless pulling the data into your system. We have solar-powered systems to power the units when they're out in remote sites. We also have a functionality within our system that, considering we're in New Zealand, it's a long way away from the US, different time zone, is that we can actually service the computers and the software from anywhere we are. We have, if our systems have an internet connection and you give us permission, we can actually go in there and actually do software updates, software patches. If you come across a truck that we haven't seen before that's not scanning correctly, we can actually get in there and actually make those changes. We have remote control functionality, so through our web portal, you can be on a remote site. You might have one of your staff might be having trouble, or truck driver having trouble. You can dial in yourself and actually take control of the scanner and actually tell them what to do. And that's quite a handy thing for us, and we've found with customers. And we sort of have portable systems. The system can be quite portable, like on a mounted on a trailer where it can be towed out to site for a couple of weeks or whatever, and then brought back. And and we find that that's quite a big thing here in the US, because, you know, people are moving around a lot. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see what people's thoughts are about, you know, be having a collective look at low volume scanning, considering there's two of us out there now. We were a lonely voice for a lot of years. Now there's someone else doing it, which is fine for me. It's just like, you know, the technology's coming a long way, and it works, it's good, and I think it can give you a return on investment. So, yeah, thanks for listening. If there's any questions, by all means.
Any questions? Thank you, Kerry.
I guess that wraps our program, guys, up for the 2017 annual MSC meeting. We'd like to especially thank all of our members, all of our affiliate members, our new affiliate members, and our sponsors. At 4:45, don't forget we have the president's meeting in the bridge bar. Shelley wanted me to be sure, she's standing back there showing me, which I didn't forget. You have to have your badge to get in there, so hopefully we'll get a chance to visit a little bit before everybody gets out of here, and just again tell all you guys thanks for coming, thanks for your support.
Thank you, Byron. Thank you, everybody. We really appreciate your coming and your support. Remember, the office is open. Anytime you need to discuss an issue or have any questions, please feel free to call us or contact us. My address is execdir for executive director at mulchandsoil.org. And We'll see you at 4:45. Thanks so much to all of our sponsors and our speakers. And make note that next year is Charleston, October 2 to 4, 2018, Charleston, South Carolina.